Hello and welcome to our site as we continue in our little series on worship. The theme of worship, if you have a Bible, turn to the middle of that Bible to Psalm 145. This morning we're going to speak about the wow of worship. We've spoken about the how and the what, and now the wow. Psalm 145, a psalm of praise of David. I will exalt you, my God and King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know that you are the one who does mighty acts. The glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises, and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall, and lifts up all those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name for ever and ever. The wow of worship. Someone has said you get five different types of preacher. The ritualist, who repeats the religious process and parrots the liturgy. The foreman, who browbeats the congregation at every opportunity. The huckster, who promotes his latest idea and rides his favorite hobby horse. The professor, who dumps his profound load of information on the congregation, but seldom sees or experiences transformation, and the persuader, who shows what the Bible says and enjoins the people to obey it, leaving them always with an unavoidable choice. I do hope, God helping me, that I will be in the category of the Christian persuader. Well, you don't have to really persuade people to worship. It's just what we've been born for. As we said last time, we either worship the true and living God, or as Luther put it, we're soon busy with gods of our own. The Bible is one big manual on worship. How to worship, who to worship, when to worship. The Bible is one massive call to worship God in spirit and in truth, living all of your life Godward. All of the Old Testament is a call to worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. In the New Testament, we're exhorted to continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Peter tells us we're living stones, built into a spiritual house. We're a royal and holy priesthood. Worship is offering sacrifices acceptable to God, declaring the praises of God who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Unlike the Old Testament worshippers who went to the temple to worship, we as Christians are the temple. God dwells in us. He dwells in each one of us. He dwells in us all by his Holy Spirit. And we all have the Holy Spirit to help us. Help us to worship acceptably, authentically, to worship in spirit and in truth, to offer worship that is acceptable with reverence and awe. The Holy Spirit is a worshiping spirit in the same that in the sense that he inspires and enables us to live a worshipful life to the Father through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hence the Apostle Paul exhorts the Ephesian believers to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit and controlled by him, addressing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, to sing and make music in their hearts to the Lord. In other words, worship is our way of life as Christ's followers, Jesus himself being our example. And so today I simply want to highlight some of the benefits we derive from true worship, worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth, worshiping God in humility and sincerity and with the Holy Spirit's help. When you begin to live like this, on the positive side, it's life-changing. In the first instance, there's an enhanced dimension of life in the Spirit, an enhanced dimension of life in the Holy Spirit, a kind of new dimension in spiritual elation. It happened to me as a student at university in 1960 in Grahamstown, South Africa, when I joined a congregation of truly born-again, spirit-filled believers in Jesus. My spiritual life took off, and praise God it hasn't landed yet. Graham Kendrick explains why, to quote, "To worship in spirit is to tap into the very source of worship himself, the inexhaustible, endlessly praising Spirit of God, and to allow him liberty to join with our spirit in experiencing through our mind and body the worth of our Savior Jesus and the love of our Heavenly Father." I'm sure you're familiar with Jesus' encounter with the woman at Jacob's well that we read of in John chapter 4. Don't miss the irony of Jesus physically thirsty, offering an adulterous Samaritan woman living water that will quench her thirst for time and eternity. And here's the point we often miss, I think, and make her into one of the worshippers the Father is seeking her to be. Jesus was wanting her to become a true worshipper. Not many years after that, Philip the Evangelist and Peter and John would be instrumental under God to bring a spiritual awakening to these Samaritans, and their town would be filled with joy as hundreds of them drank at that living water Jesus gives and became spirit-filled worshippers. We read that story in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 8 following. A brand new dimension of spiritual elation, celebrating God and the resurrection life in the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't miss this precious dimension that is born of the Spirit. Let me illustrate it, how it works, with a story from my youth. We had a farm in what was then the British colony of Southern Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe, and on that farm we had several wells, and this one particular one that I remember very well, excuse the pun, had a windmill on it. And when the wind blew well, then the tank next to the windmill was filled with water. And from that water, a beautiful field of vegetables of all kind was grown and fruit was produced. When you are an authentic worshipper of God, the wind of God's Holy Spirit fills your life with living water, and the overflow issues forth from your mouth in worship, in an experience of spiritual elation. This is why Paul says to the Ephesian believers, keep on being filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit, addressing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all of your heart, always and in everything, giving thanks to the Lord. The second benefit, the second wow of authentic worship, is an increased delight in your personal devotion to the Lord. An increased delight in your personal devotion to the Lord. Our worship of God brings us corporately and personally into a deeper relationship with God. Our worship of God brings us corporately and personally into a deeper relationship with God. Prayer becomes a delight, not just a duty. I think back to a time in the early 70s when in the first church that I pastored in Johannesburg in South Africa, the Spirit of God was moving in grace and power, and so many young people and young adults were coming to the Lord and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the amazing thing was that these young people preferred a half night of prayer and worship to a movie or a games evening. And when our chapel was full, they prayed in the little hall behind me while I preached. They devoured passages of the Bible like it was manna from heaven. There was an increased delight in personal devotion to the Lord as they learned to worship in spirit and in truth. Their personal times of Bible study and prayer became more productive. True worship will always lead to an increased experience of personal devotion to God. It breathes new life into our daily quiet time of prayer and Bible reading. I'm sure you're familiar, at least to some degree, with the musical masterpiece, The Messiah. Few may remember, however, the circumstances which brought it about. Handel's personal life was in a sad state. He was hopelessly in debt and in a severe depression. It was in 1741, and he was 57 years old. Hope for recovery seemed faint. About this time, a little-known poet by the name of Charles Jenners delivered to Handel a collection of biblical excerpts under the title A Sacred Oratorio. With little interest, George Friedrich Handel began to turn the leaves of the manuscript. The words of the Hebrew prophet Isaiah, he was despised and rejected of men. The heart of Handel found sympathy, for he too felt despised and rejected of men. Those words about Jesus struck home, and something began to happen to Handel. Words began to reverberate in his soul. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Handel began to write and compose. He remained in seclusion for 24 days. Sometimes his food was untouched. At times he would jump up and wave his hands in the air, shouting, Hallelujah! Later he confided, I think I did see all of heaven before me and the great God himself. The result is history, and thousands of times, each Christmas and Easter season since then in particular, crowds have been inspired by the masterpiece which climaxes in the great Hallelujah chorus. Worship enhances our love for God. Worship enables us to just see an amazing increased delight in our personal devotion to the Lord. And then thirdly, the wow of worship, a growing ability to appreciate and appropriate the truth of God's Word. Many have found, I'm sure, that with an increased praise, an increased perception of truth comes along. The Scriptures come alive in a new way when you live a life of praise and worship to the Lord. The principles and promises of the Word of God leap out at us. Bible study is no longer boring. We can't wait for it. The same Holy Spirit who inspires our worship is the Spirit who opens our hearts and our minds, our spirit, the eyes of our spiritual understanding, to know Christ better, to enter our inheritance and experience the power of Jesus. Ephesians 1:18, the same power that raised Christ from the tomb is at work within us when our worship is authentic. It's like the veil is removed. We see things we've never seen before. We discover that worship and revelation go together. As we worship God, the truth is unveiled to us more and more. We see community as we've never seen it before. Our love of truth opens up a new love for justice, for issues of right and wrong in society. Worshippers grow in wisdom and discernment. The more we worship in spirit and in truth, the more our capacity for truth grows. And then fourthly, there's a renewed expectation regarding public worship, our gathering together on the Lord's Day or whenever we do. Why, we can hardly wait for Sunday to come around again, to gather in the presence of the God with whom all things are possible, to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, to share the Christ-like with our brothers and sisters, to join the family in holding communion with God, to know that this may be the very day when God will come in mighty spiritual awakening, and we will see lost people getting saved and prodigals coming home and sick people being healed, prisoners being set free, those who are bound spiritually finding freedom in Christ as they worship, as they learn to become worshippers. And then it has to be said that authentic worship will reward us with an inevitable escalation in spiritual warfare. I'm afraid that's always so. Have you found that? Satan doesn't mind people going to church so much, but he's violently opposed to a congregation of authentic worshippers. But on the positive side, Holy Spirit anointed worship will overcome the attacks of the enemy of our souls. They will block his strategies, they will break down his defenses, they will demolish his strongholds, because God inhabits the praises of his people. God is enthroned on the praises of his people. Why, when King Jehoshaphat of Judah was told by God to put the singers and the instrumentalists out in front of the army to lead the way into battle against the enemy forces, God got to work and began to set ambushments against the enemy. The enemy ended up destroying itself. That's why Nehemiah, God's great leader, sent the choirs around on top of the rebuilt walls of Jerusalem to declare the victory that was theirs under the mighty hand of God. With true worship comes an escalation of spiritual warfare. Yes, it does happen, but God uses the warfare to strengthen his soldiers and demonstrate the triumph of the cross. So, my friend, my brother, my sister in Christ, stand firm in your faith and wage a good war, putting on the full armor of God. Thank God that every day we can wake up blessing the Lord with everything that there is within us, and we experience the wow of true worship, an enhanced dimension of life in the Holy Spirit, an increased delight in our personal devotion to the Lord, a growing ability to appreciate and appropriate the truth of God's Word, a renewed expectation regarding corporate worship, our times together on the Lord's Day or when we gather to worship Him, and then, fifthly, an inevitable escalation in spiritual warfare. But thank God every day we can wake up praising the Lord that we're clothed in complete armor, that although we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the world rulers of this present darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places, we can thank God every day that we're clothed in complete armor, that we're strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, having on the belt of truth as it is in Jesus, the breastplate of God's righteousness imputed to us in Christ, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, by which we can quench the flaming arrows of the evil one. Yes, there is, in true worship, so often an inevitable escalation in spiritual warfare. Satan cannot abide in the heart that is filled with praise to God. But oh, what a blessing to see victory after victory in the lives of God's people when they learn to be authentic worshippers. And then finally, and just to state the truth, the reward of knowing our purpose for living. When we learn to worship as we should, the reward is knowing our purpose for living, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's why we're here, dear friend. That's why God has created us and recreated us in Christ Jesus. As children of God, we are supremely here, as we said last time, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we thank you today for these lessons that we have gleaned in terms of the immense blessings of true worship, the rewards, as it were, of true worship. Thank you, Father, that the more we learn how to worship authentically, how to worship in spirit and in truth, how to worship you with all our heart and mind and soul and strength, how to join with others as true worshipers. Thank you for the way in which there is an enhanced dimension of life in the Holy Spirit. There's an increased delight in our personal devotion. There's a growing ability to appreciate and appropriate the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, that there's a renewed expectation regarding corporate worship and an inevitable escalation of spiritual warfare. But in that we become more than conquerors through him who loves us as we learn to live as worshippers. And thank you that we have the reward of knowing our purpose for living, that we are here to glorify you, Lord God, and to enjoy you forever. So help us, we pray, to keep on growing in this wonderful experience of being recreated in Christ Jesus to be authentic worshippers. And so now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.